And welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here, because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and exam-relevant topics on the whole specification: how human activities change river landscapes and what we do about it. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode has everything you need. So let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. Rivers are not just natural features, they are shaped by everything we do around them. When we build towns, farm the land, or set up factories, we change the way water moves through the landscape. And those changes have serious consequences for flooding, for wildlife, and for the communities that live nearby. Examiners absolutely love this topic because it connects physical geography with human geography. And the best candidates, the ones who get the top marks, are the ones who can explain those connections clearly and use specific examples to back them up. So let's talk about the three main human activities that affect rivers. Number one is urbanisation. When an area becomes urbanised, meaning towns and cities expand, the natural ground surface gets replaced with impermeable surfaces. Think tarmac roads, concrete car parks, rooftops. Water can no longer soak into the ground through infiltration. Instead, it flows rapidly across the surface and into drains and sewers, which channel it straight into the river. The result? The river receives a much larger volume of water much more quickly. On a storm hydrograph, and you absolutely need to be able to draw and interpret one of these, urbanisation produces a steep rising limb, a shorter lag time, and a higher peak discharge. The lag time is the gap between peak rainfall and peak discharge, and in an urban catchment it can be just a couple of hours, compared to many hours or even days in a rural one. Examiners award marks for using these precise terms, so make sure they're in your vocabulary. Number two is agriculture. Farming changes the landscape in several important ways. Removing hedgerows and trees reduces interception. That's the process where vegetation catches rainfall before it reaches the ground. Ploughing fields can compact the soil, reducing its ability to absorb water. Overgrazing by livestock also compacts soil and removes vegetation cover. All of these changes increase surface runoff and can lead to higher discharging rivers. There's also the issue of soil erosion. When topsoil is washed into rivers, it increases the load the river carries and can lead to sedimentation downstream, which raises the riverbed and increases flood risk. Number three is industry. Industrial land use often involves large areas of impermeable surfaces, factory floors, storage yards, access roads. Industrial processes can also discharge water directly into rivers, sometimes at higher temperatures or carrying pollutants. This affects not just the volume of water, but also the quality of the river environment. Now, all of these human activities increase the risk of flooding, but flooding also has physical causes, and examiners expect you to distinguish clearly between the two. Physical causes include prolonged heavy rainfall, which saturates the soil so it can no longer absorb water. Snowmelt in spring can cause rivers to rise rapidly. Steep valley sites mean water reaches the river quickly. And impermeable geology, like clay or granite, naturally reduces infiltration even without human interference. A brilliant exam answer will separate physical and human causes clearly, and then explain how they can combine. For example, a period of heavy rainfall, a physical cause, falling on an urbanised catchment, a human cause, creates a much greater flood risk than either factor alone. Right, let's move on to the effects of flooding, because examiners want you to think about both people and the environment. For people, flooding can be devastating. Homes are damaged or destroyed. Businesses lose stock and income. Roads and bridges become impassable, disrupting transport networks. People may need to evacuate, and the psychological impact of losing your home can last for years. In the UK, the floods of 2015 in Cumbria, particularly around Carlisle and the Eden Valley, caused over £500 million of damage and affected thousands of homes. That's the kind of specific case study detail that earns you marks in the exam. For the environment, flooding can have both negative and positive effects. On the negative side, floodwater can carry pollutants, agricultural chemicals, sewage, industrial waste into floodplains, damaging ecosystems. On the positive side, natural flooding deposits nutrient-rich sediment onto floodplains, which historically made them some of the most fertile farmland in the world. The Nile Delta in Egypt is a classic example of this.
So when you're writing about effect, always think about both salt and always think about both people and the environment.
Now we come to the part of the topic that students often find most confusing, flood management strategies. There are two categories, hard engineering and soft engineering. Let me be really clear about the difference, because mixing these up is one of the most common mistakes examiners see. Hard engineering involves building large artificial structures to control or redirect floodwater. These are expensive, dramatic interventions. Let's go through the main ones. Dams and reservoirs store water upstream, releasing it slowly and reducing peak discharge downstream. The Three Gorges Dam in China is the world's largest, and it protects millions of people from flooding. But it also displaced over 1 million people and flooded huge areas of land and wildlife habitat. That's your advantage and disadvantage right there. Channelization involves straightening, widening, or lining a river channel with concrete to increase its capacity and speed up flow. It protects areas immediately alongside the channel, but it transfers the flood risk downstream, and the concrete lining destroys the natural habitat. Embankments, also called levees, are raised banks built alongside the river to contain higher water levels. They're relatively cheap compared to dams, but if they fail, the flooding can be sudden and catastrophic. The New Orleans floods after Hurricane Katrina in 2005 are a tragic example of levee failure. Soft engineering works with natural processes rather than against them. It tends to be cheaper, more sustainable, and better for the environment, but it may offer less immediate protection. Floodplain zoning is a planning strategy where land use is restricted in high-risk flood zones. High-risk areas are kept as parks, sports fields, or agricultural land, uses that can tolerate occasional flooding. Lower-risk areas are used for housing and businesses. This doesn't prevent flooding, but it reduces the damage when flooding occurs. Washlands are areas of low-lying land that are deliberately allowed to flood, storing water and reducing peak discharge downstream. They're often used for grazing when dry, but farmers accept that they may flood periodically. Afforestation, planting trees, is another soft approach. Trees intercept rainfall, their roots increase infiltration, and they slow the movement of water through the catchment. River restoration involves returning a channelized river to its natural meandering course. A meandering river is longer, flows more slowly, and has a greater capacity to absorb floodwater. It also restores habitats for wildlife. Let me give you some key exam tips now, because this is where candidates really earn or lose marks. First, always use specific terminology. Don't just say the river floods more, say urbanisation increases surface runoff, reduces lag time and raises peak discharge, increasing the risk of the river exceeding bankfall discharge. That's the kind of precise technical language that moves you into the higher mark levels. Second, for every management strategy, know at least one advantage and one disadvantage. Examiners will ask you to evaluate, and a one-sided answer cannot reach the top level. Use the word however. It signals to the examiner that you're thinking critically. Third, use named case studies. Vague answers like a city in England will not earn you full marks. Learn specific examples, the Cumbria floods of 2015, the Three Gorges Dam in China, the River Coal Restoration Project in Birmingham, or the Jubilee River Flood Relief Channel in Berkshire. These show the examiner that you have real geographical knowledge, not just general ideas. Fourth, on storm hydrograph questions, practice drawing the graph yourself. You may be asked to annotate it, describe it, or explain how it would change under different conditions. Know the key terms: lag time, peak discharge, rising limb, falling limb, and bankfall discharge. Right, it's time for our quickfire recall quiz. Cover up your notes and see how many of these you can answer. Ready? 1. What is lag time? It's the time between peak rainfall and peak discharge. 2. Name two ways urbanisation increases flood risk. Impermeable surfaces increase surface runoff, and drains and sewers channel water rapidly into rivers. 3. what is the difference between hard and soft engineering? Hard engineering uses large artificial structures to control floodwater. Soft engineering works with natural processes to manage flood risk. 4. Give one advantage and one disadvantage of a dam. Advantage: stores water and reduces peak discharge downstream. Disadvantage: very expensive and can displace communities and damage ecosystems. 5. What is floodplain zoning? A planning strategy that restricts land use in high-risk flood zones to reduce damage when flooding occurs. Brilliant! Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key points from today's episode. Human activities, urbanisation, agriculture and industry all increase flood risk by increasing surface runoff and reducing the time water takes to reach the river. Flooding has serious effects on both people and the environment, and you should always consider both. Hard engineering strategies like dams, channelization and embankments offer strong but expensive protection, often with environmental downsides. Soft engineering strategies like floodplain zoning, washlands and afforestation are more sustainable and environmentally friendly, but may offer less immediate protection. The best exam answers use specific terminology, named case studies, and evaluate both advantages and benefits. You've got this. Keep revising, keep using those key terms, and remember, geography is all around you. Every time it rains heavily and you see a flooded road, you're watching this topic in action. Good luck in your exam, and I'll see you in the next episode.